Hello and welcome to today's concert. And we're back here in Rochdale Parish Church, this wonderful building with these great instruments. As I've said before, this organ's built by William Hill in the late 19th century, rebuilt by Harrison and Harrison in 1959, and more recently in 2011 it was enlarged with some extra stops. Great instruments to work together and show some wonderful sounds. And we thought we'd give you some more piano and organ, why not? And that was, of course, The Arrival of the Queen of Sheba by Handel, arranged for organ and piano by me, and what better piece to start a concert today. We're going to move straight on to a piece originally written for piano solo.
That's right, we're going to be playing a very famous piece of music, a very famous piece of piano music actually, Clair de Lune by Debussy, which translates as Moonlight. It's such a great piano solo, and often you hear it arranged for lots of orchestral transcriptions and maybe other instruments as well, but today you're going to hear it for piano and organ, and Jonathan's going to add a really nice kind of string sound and some kind of warmer sounds of the organ alongside this very famous piano solo. So this is Debussy, Clair de Lune. Thank you. Well, I hope you enjoyed that and you enjoyed listening to the piano and the organ together. It's such a great sound together. It's almost like a new instrument on its own. Well, we've heard a piano solo, so why not hear an organ solo? We're going to hear a piece by Handel. Jonathan, you can tell us more about it.
We're going to play you a movement of one of Handel's organ concertos in G major, the final movement from the Opus 4, number 1. Now, these concertos weren't written in the normal sense of a concerto, not concert hall sort of virtuoso performances as we think of. They were written for the theatre. They were usually used because Handel needed pieces to put between movements of his operas and oratorios. He did this partly as a way of filling in the time of the concert, but also because he wanted to attract people to his events. He would book a theatre such as Covent Garden Theatre for a whole period of time and put on various pieces of music. And he would want to attract people because he was a very, very famous organist and keyboard player and was famed for his keyboard dexterity as one of the greatest players of the day. He would advertise, "Mr. Handel will play an organ concerto in this concert," and that would attract more audience over his competitors. Now, this piece was originally performed at Covent Garden, probably as an interval piece almost, not quite if you're instead of having a drink and a choc ice at the interval, more as a filling in between movements of the opera. It's a very joyful piece of music, very beautiful. No pedals, because in those days Handel didn't use pedals in England. We didn't have pedal boards on the organs, so it was manuals only with the hands. And it's a very beautiful set of variations on almost a ground bass on a chord progression. Quite light, and Tom's going to take the orchestral part. So this is the final movement of the Opus 4, number 1, Concerto in G by George Frideric Handel.
a chance for Jonathan to show off a bit there. And I hope you enjoyed listening to the piano accompanying the organ for a change. Well, over this last period of time, a lot of people have been indoors and maybe have not had as much exercise. I certainly haven't. And so this week I thought I would set Jonathan a challenge to exercise a little bit more on the pedal board. And I said to him, what's the most difficult piece of organ music that uses the pedals non-stop? And he had an idea. And I said, you should definitely play that. And he's probably not going to thank me for this, because it's very, very difficult. And he'll tell you all about the piece. And it's by Pietro Jahn.
Jahn was, of course, an Italian composer who lived most of his life in America and was organist at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. He was famed as a great virtuoso organist. He founded an organ school in Carnegie Hall with his brother, and they taught some great musicians, including people like Cole Porter. But as a virtuoso, it is what Jahn was best known for, and he's most famed for his pedal technique. He wrote a book about pedal technique and the use of toes, heels, and the 32 or 30 pedals we have to play at the organ, and how he could play extremely quickly and easily. And this piece is an exact a demonstration of what he was trying to show. It's non-stop throughout in the feet. It's what makes it so difficult. And this is where organ playing meets an Olympic sport and physical endurance. It's about relaxation and technique in the sense of control of your own limbs and relaxation as you play. But at the same time, it's a concert study, which means it's not just a study in something physical and an element of moving your fingers or feet. It's an element of musicality as well. You have to make it into a performance. It's a great piece, very exciting. Very, very tricky to play, unfortunately. What happens is it's almost a trill figuration between each foot and the heels all the way through, absolutely non-stop, in semi-quavers, or for the rest of the world outside of England, 16th notes, as you'll know them. And it's a brilliant, brilliant piece of music. Tom, of course, has set me this as a challenge, so thank you, Tom, for that. And wish me luck. This is Pietro Jahn's Concert Study number 1. Yes, thank you, Tom, for choosing that.
You're very welcome, Jonathan. He's not even out of breath. Anyway, we're going to be playing an original piece now, an original composition, which I've written for piano and organ, which is called Timepiece. I wrote this a few years ago. And when I'm writing and composing, I like to work with a concept. And for this, I was really intrigued by a phenomenon which happens when you put two pendulum clocks on a wall, or multiple pendulum clocks on a wall. And basically what happens, even though they're all out of sync, over time, the pendulums will match up and all do the tick-tock exactly at the same time. And I really like this idea. And so what I've done is I've composed lots and lots of simple kind of chimes. And what happens in this piece is we have lots and lots of chimes all out of time until eventually everything synchronizes.
I've played this piece many times over the years, and quite early on when we were performing it, a member of the audience who often comes to our concerts decided, because of the subject timepiece, they would give us a set of pocket watches. You'll have noticed we always have a chain on our waistcoats, and on the end of them is actually a watch. We've got a few of them, but these are really beautiful watches, and it was very kind of them. And because of this gift, Tom always jokes that his next piece is probably going to be called Red Ferrari. But that aside, I hope you enjoy listening to this. It's really effective for piano and organ and dovetailing of the two sounds together. So this is Timepiece by Tom Scott. Thank you.
Well, we ended together, so that means it all went well. Finally today, we're going to be performing some dances, some very famous dances actually. You really will recognise the melodies which are used in this next piece.
We're going to play you the Polotsvian Dances by Borodin. Very famous piece of music. However, Borodin, during his lifetime, wasn't famous as a composer. He was famous as a chemist. His experiments in organic chemistry got him worldwide fame, and any of you out there who study chemistry may have heard of some of those experiments that he created and some of the formulas and solutions he invented. A very, very clever man, and music was actually just a hobby and pastime. He started studying quite late, and he was known as a member of the Five in Russia, five composers dedicated to promoting Russian music away from Western culture to give Russia its own sound. It was Mile Balakirev, Cesar Cui, Rimsky-Korsakov and Modest Mussorgsky were the other four, if you ever need to know those answers for a quiz, and they worked together to provide a national style of music. And Borodin had this style, which almost sounds Eastern if you cover the whole of Russia, a very, very distinctive sound. But because he was a chemist and very busy teaching at St. Petersburg in the academy there, he hardly ever finished any of his compositions. And this is no exception. It's from an opera called Prince Igor. It tells the tale of Prince Igor, who tries to invade the Polotsvians, who live in an area of Russia. They unfortunately capture him and take him hostage, but they're very nice, hospitable people. They give him something to eat, something to drink, and put on a party for him. And during this, they get people to dance, and that's where the Polotsvian dances arrive in the opera. We start with the gliding dance of the women, the men's dance, the boys' dance. They all recapitulate, and then it ends in a big flurry. A brilliant piece of music, most famous because Borodin is probably the only Russian composer who posthumously managed to gain a Tony Award for his Broadway musical. In the 1950s, there's a famous musical called Kismet, which is based on Borodin's music. And so at home, you may be humming along Stranger in Paradise at the opening of this piece, because that's what it's based on. A very interesting side, and amazing how his music found this other life away from him. This is a version I've done for piano and organ, and I almost get Tom back at this point because it's extremely difficult for both instruments, especially the piano. I've gone for virtuoso writing. It's a virtuosic piece for the orchestra and brilliantly, brilliantly written originally. So I hope you enjoy this. This is the Polotsvian Dances by Alexander Borodin. Thank you.
Well, thank you for watching today, and we thought that we would give you a little encore. But before that, we'd just like to say how amazing it is to be able to come into spaces like this and perform on these fantastic instruments for you.
Yes, and it's great to be able to bring you music on these instruments, because all these churches and buildings have these amazing organs, pianos, you name it. And what's great in this virtual world of virtual concerts we're bringing you is to provide you with real instruments, real keyboards, stops, piano keys, pipes, not speakers or anything, and strings in the piano. They're acoustic instruments, and when you're in these buildings, the floor shakes. It's an incredible experience, and absolutely nothing can recreate it. The people who build these instruments are great craftsmen, and they spend all their lives making them. They're handmade, cost hundreds of thousands to millions of pounds, and it's absolutely incredible the work that goes into them. And all these churches, concert halls and buildings around the world and this country have thousands of them. And we want people to appreciate how amazing they are and look after them. So it's wonderful at this time to be bringing them to you. So thank you for watching today, and I'm glad we've been able to bring you this concert. And to finish, we're going to give you a very, very beautiful piece of music as an encore, a slight bit of relaxation. Until next time, this is Gluck's Melody.